Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to episode 14 of the Love in the Mirror podcast. I'm your host, Shannon Bodie. In this episode, we are looking at facing fear in relationship, mirroring our next level of the Love in the Mirror course. So if you've got some practice, some perhaps wise self that needs to come through in whatever relationship learning lab you're working with, this episode is for you. How we can face those fears with some grace and develop some practices that honor ourselves and the other person for the other situation moving forward. This is the Love in the Mirror podcast. Thank you, everyone, for being here. If this is your first episode ever, I'm so glad you're with us. If you've been following all along, thank you, all of you who are tuning in to listen today. I'm Shannon Bodie, and a certified health and wellness coach that is leading and working with a lot of folks right now in our relationship practice. And almost always that comes back to our relationship with ourselves, right? How are we relating to ourselves as we relate to others? And, you know, we've been talking a lot in class about how right now there are no coincidences. And as we are all globally, nationally impacted in so many ways with what's happening, with needing to be called home, with needing to be called away from each other in some ways, but also called into different spaces with technology, relating from different systems, new ways, working from home, not working. It can be a very challenging time, to say the least. Challenging almost sounds like a euphemism right now. And so we honor that. And we talked about that in our class this week. And that this is a time, as we bravely look at our relationships, where everything might be coming up even more strongly. Those who we are staying home with, those who we have to be distanced from, those who we need to relate differently with because we don't get to see them on a daily basis. For some, that might be a relief, right? For some, that can be significantly challenging. And so we're bringing all of that into the mix today as we look at this, really what our sixth class is in the Love in the Mirror class. And if you have questions about that in curriculum and would like to go further, I invite you to innerpeacerising.com. And soon you'll see there upcoming classes and modules that you can download if any of this interests you. But what's great about the podcast is each one is its own little mini practice or, you know, mini exploration, as it will. So hopefully you'll walk away today in about 30 minutes with some ideas of how to practice when you are facing some challenges in relationship and how to work with goals that honor you. And how we relate to the other person, work with goals and steps that honor both of you. So this becomes a true empowerment, yes? It doesn't become any old school power over, but really a power with. An empowerment, particularly of those of us who are serving others on a consistent basis. And we need to fuel our cup. We need to feel like we've set boundaries, guidelines for ourselves that honor us so that we can continue to do our important work in the world. So that's what we're looking at today. And that's what we've been looking at in class this week. So taking a deep breath. I invite you, as you have, and maybe you were working with this in the last episode, if you're curious and you'd like to dig deeper, this is episode 14. Go ahead and take a look at episode 13. And it walks you through a little bit of identifying what relationships to work with, those that might be challenging right now, but also feel safe. And if they're not feeling safe, some guidelines around that. But how do we look at the situation? And no one's listening in your head but you right now, dear listeners. So that relationship that pops up as, ooh, gosh, I'm having a hard time with this right now. And you know what? I would feel better. I'm ready to make some steps to change it a little bit. Or maybe change it a lot. What are the habits then? What are the practices that we look at when we're relating to another? And this could be an intimate relationship. It could be at work. It could also be to a situation. And one of our very wise group members last night said, you know, the relationship I'm working with still is myself. So I'm developing deeper habits in how I relate to the version of myself that still believes she has to put up with things, or that still thinks she's less than, or that still thinks she needs to cope in these particular ways when she's stressed. So see which of those resonates with you. You might be working in relationship with yourself right now. There's no more important relationship, right? This rubs off on every interaction we've got. So as we look at that, see what yours is. And a couple of questions, things to put through the mill. This is more of a, if you have a moment to write things down on a sticky note or post it or replay this later. But I invite you, as we take a few deep breaths here, to run through the mill of the mind. A few questions that might offer some deeper exploration for you. What are the habits that really mimic self-love and acceptance as you relate to other people? And you might not know what those look like. These really water down to some very clear behaviors. So if it's hard to find those right now, think about the people in your life who seem to have things going well in an arena that you're studying. It might be folks who have a relationship that you covet in some way, or that you wish yours was more like. Gosh, I really like the relationship that person has with their boss. How'd you do that? And this is turning it on its head, right? It's not saying, oh gosh, I wish I had your boss. She seems so much better than mine, right? That might be the case. But what if we looked at, what did you do to cultivate that relationship with your boss? What was in your control? What did that person do? You seem to have an egalitarian, awesome working system going here, right? And I call this window shopping on the responses, the patterns, the beliefs, the behaviors that others do that are in the nature of relationship that you're coveting right now, that take it to the next level, including your relationship with yourself. My friends, I've spent years window shopping for inspiration because watching others who are doing things well, who clearly have something down far better than I do, we all are in those positions, right? You can watch and go, wow, this is amazing. How do you do this? I said this in class last night, but for years, I window shopped on partnerships, marriages, because I was seeking that role modeling. For a lot of reasons. There were a few things that were mirrored to me that I wanted to bring with from my upbringing, from my stepmom and my dad's marriage. There were a few things. But there were other things and other skills that I definitely needed more exposure to. And I would watch these in relationships of my friends, colleagues, mentors, with fascination. Sometimes it's not always fascination, right? When we're coveting a bit of relationship because we are missing that, because maybe we're in a relationship and we're not seeing it, that can sometimes be even harder. Or because that relationship hasn't manifested yet. So my friends, if you are waiting and lonely, or if you are in a situation that really leaves something to be desired, there's inspiration all around you, I promise. And I have been there, and there's still inspiration all around us. How can we use those relationships as role models for inspiring our own authentic growth? Not to copy or mimic, but to inspire our own manifestation of this to come forward. So that window shopping. Sark says, jealousy is an oddly wrapped gift. So when we want something another person has in relationship status, any relationship, wow, I really think her whole way she relates to her kids is just beautiful. It's very real, but it's really beautiful. Gosh, okay, how does she do that? And what responses, patterns, beliefs do those folks have? What behaviors do they have that we can farm for inspiration? And here's the fine line. We don't have to copy those in a way that feels inauthentic to ourselves, because everyone has their own unique, beautiful source that comes from within us. Our own unique collection of childhood experiences, our own belief systems, our own what we believe is possible range, right? But that's the invitation. What I love about calling in that window shopping inspiration is sometimes it can show us where our beliefs of what's possible get to get blown wide open. Where our beliefs around maybe being small, or a few other things that I'll cover in a moment, might be shown a light on to say, ooh, you can dream bigger than this. And that's what I really want to pull the veil back on from this episode. So let me dive into those a little bit further. There are a lot of different healing practices and modalities, from cognitive psychology, some energy medicine, cognitive behavioral psychology, that identify a collection of beliefs that many of us have. In energy medicine speak, we almost might call them social overtangles. They affect the collective. That so many folks show up in therapy or show up with this need that, gosh, wow, you're really not alone in these. So see if you identify with any of these. When you're showing up in relationship, whatever it is, do you feel that you're deserving, truly deserving of what you seek? Do you feel you're truly worthy of what you seek? Do you feel that it's safe? Is it honestly safe to be in, reflect, receive the respect, love, clear communication, whatever it is that you're working toward evolving? And is it safe not just for you, but for other? So some folks might have a limiting belief structure. Oh, it's not safe for someone else I love for me to make this change. For those of you who are in any of those safety realms, for those of you staying in places for your children's sake, for example, I honor you wholly and completely. And I invite you to please contact me, Shannon, at innerpeacerising.com, if any of these resonate with you. That's what our Deeper Love in the Mirror coursework starts to evoke and evolve, is how do we mindfully plan those changes. It's just one example. The last area of limiting belief that's very collective for a lot of us is that possibility. Is this even possible? Because depending on the nature of your upbringing, depending on what society informs us with, we're just not shown. So what our brain hasn't yet received in this lifetime, we literally don't understand until we see it. And perhaps for you, it's that strange, beautiful fascination. I used to interview friends who I would watch their interactions, particularly in marriage, and really interview them with zest, with curiosity. So wait a second. Let me get this straight, right? He came home. You brought this thing up. It was a challenge. Nobody got into a big fight. It was over within 10 minutes and you both came up with a solution and everybody owned their stuff and it really wasn't that big of a deal. And he didn't get upset and you were honored and he was fine. And I don't understand. It was like watching a different culture sometimes. And I say that with complete honoring of my upbringing all around, because I really do believe and trust that we all get, quite frankly, the petri dish that we need to bring forth our greatest lessons and our skills, right? But that, because that was a new way of relating for me, I was fascinated. I didn't believe it was possible. I also didn't believe it was authentic for a while. healthy conflict, healthy confrontation, healthy problem solution. And man, that was a light bulb. That was in my 20s. Still took me some time to start to actualize that in practice. And that's what I want to offer you, my friends, is may it not take you 15, 20 years to actualize it in practice. If it does, bless it, that's okay. I'm in it with you. So those beliefs, maybe see what those are for you. And then, what are the people who believe they are deserving, they are worthy, they are safe, they are enough? They know it's possible. Not only is it possible, but it's a regular operating system in how they relate to themselves, how they relate to the constellation of their work. Are they relating to work from an attitude of scarcity? Oh my God, I'm so grateful I have this job. I have to take anything I can get, and I have to keep hyper-volunteering for things because they might fire me. Or are they relating to their work from a place of respect and acknowledgement of their skill set that says, I can take a pause and step back. I know I contribute. I know my contributions are valued. And because I can mindfully put forth beautiful content, support, whatever that is in my career, my profession, that deepens the respect others have for me because I bring it from this place of really discerning contribution versus fear and scarcity and proving myself. So there are examples all over the place. And I love to watch those. In fact, you know, now we're doing this episode, I'll start to see those pop up too. Because if we set the intention to watch them and learn from them, they can show us what is lying dormant. Very key here. If something triggers our inspiration, our jealousy, our coveting, and we want it, that does not mean it is outside of us. If we are lit up from it, from the possibility, it is within us. It is just lying dormant. It hasn't had the chance to practice. We cannot recognize what is not already within us, my friends. It is already there. I promise you it's already there, whether or not it's been modeled. So let's take that. What are the behaviors? Next level. And this is where we start to work with further what we can control ourselves, right? What are the behaviors as you relate to your work, your boss, your colleagues that mimic self-acceptance, love, and deep respect, and also honor your team? How about those behaviors that mimic that in marriage, partnership, with your kids? And those behaviors become habits we can track. Now, because this podcast, I can't walk you through what those are for you personally. And I invite you deeper into work with our Love in the Mirror coursework, and that's where we start to get into those a little bit. But there's also so many beautiful resources out there about habit evolution. That pick one. Pick one for the next month and track that. So I'll offer a few examples here that might be useful for you. A lot of times we can tap into our wise inner self, our wise inner teacher, our wise inner parent. And if you've been following, we use this language a lot. This is the voice that we develop and cultivate more deeply and trust within ourselves as we deepen our love of self, as we connect to that. And for some of us, it might be that inner wise child that finally gets the chance to speak safely. It might be our inner teacher. It might be how you connect to Source, God, your higher self consciousness. But as we develop a habit of connecting with the wise part of us, the part of us that sees the metta, perhaps can see the forest for the trees, can see the bigger lesson, the bigger picture, who might be able to rise above the situation, not from a place of avoidance or complete detachment, but to look at it and see what we need to do. That part has a lot of wise information for us. So you might cultivate or deepen your meditation practice or mindfulness practice. Simply asking, here's a current concrete suggestion, simply asking that wise inner teacher within you, what do I need right now? On a very regular basis, particularly when we are triggered before challenging conversations or during them. After we have an interaction in relationship that leaves us dissatisfied, fearful, upset, tap into her. What do you need right now? And if you cultivate that dialogue more deeply, she will start to respond. She will start to respond. And bring her with you in that decision making. She might respond from a very young age. She might let you know a need that needs to get met that cannot be met by this other person in real time. And that's okay. That doesn't mean we have to leave necessarily this other person. It means we get to act in ways of loving care and compassion for ourselves. And henceforth start to unravel some of those chains of codependency, disappointment, right? I know what I just said there could be its whole own course. But really checking in with inner child, wise teacher, regularly. It might be just every time you brush your teeth. Habit stack it with something else. While I'm making my coffee in the morning, I take a deep breath and I ask my inner child what she needs today. Now, it might not mean I can, attend to it right at that moment. But I make the contract to attend to it as soon as I can. And then I'm not as dependent on others in the best possible way. Then I show up with a full cup, right? Especially as helper for my family, my community, my clients, because I've tapped in, I've met that need. And in my practice, I've invited God Source to come in and help me because that's a wellspring of constant universal support for me. So tapping in, one practice. As you develop that relationship with your inner guide, with your intuition, here are a few places to look. Boundaries. And again, this could be its whole own episode. It will be further on. Tune in if boundaries light you up like they do for me. We get to decide how to keep ourselves safe. So oftentimes, when we're making changes in our own behaviors based on what inspires us and others or what we know our wise inner teacher is directing us to create, make, and change, it is very rare that the system we're making that within is excited about it. I've never had a conversation where I set a boundary where the other person was like, oh, this is so great. Thank you for doing that in a personal work. I honor you. Thank you so much. Even if it was what I was really craving, right? When we set a boundary, it upsets a system, even if it's best for ourselves and all involved. The person on the other end typically isn't really great about it. So preparing for that, we can be clear. And how do you set that in a way that's compassionate for yourself and clear? Brené Brown says, clear is kind. Yes. When we set a boundary, we are honoring ourselves and the other person through resentment prevention. We are taking action into our own hands. So let me see if you identify with this. You're in a spiral of behavior, of accommodating someone else's wishes or accommodating a way of relating that doesn't serve you, and you're frustrated and you keep participating and you might vent about that cycle to another person. Oh my gosh, she did this. And now that means I have to do this. And I can't believe her. And then you go back in, right? Or you spend a lot of energy coping with the agreements that are currently in the relationship. A lot of energy. When we feel safe, and we might do this through affirmation, through some deeper emotional freedom technique or other tapping work, when we connect to safety, that boundary setting occurs. And boundary setting is also part of what connects us to safety. It creates the space and clears the field for what is mine, what is yours, what is God's. Or, depending on how you look at it and what your belief system is, boundary setting takes care of my side of the street. The other person's side of the street, those aren't in my control set here. That's what you can control. So we get to decide our choices, how much time we spend, our decisions. We get to decide other things, the discernment of who to trust, who's worthy of that, and what degree we share. Something else I love from Brené Brown is she talks about false intimacy a great deal. And how, particularly in this day and age, when we're facing fear across technology, space, have we cultivated that real trust with a person so that we share the layer of depth that they have earned to receive from us? I'm not going to tell my life story on Facebook, for example. Now, we all tell our versions of life story on Facebook, but in terms of the real depth of what is going on, not just the highlight reel, which is a fun practice, but has that person earned your trust and care? Because when you have shared nuggets of deeper information, they've honored it, they've held you in ways that see you. Have they earned that currency in intimacy and have you for them? So we get to discern what we share and to what level we share with people, particularly as helpers, right? We all need the people that we can share with deeply. And we deserve to have those folks who have earned that right to receive that deep information and what we need within ourselves. So we get to determine the layers and degrees of intimacy that are best moving forward, right? How do we do that? I invite you the next week or so, through that sweet combination, next steps, as you're window shopping on your desired situations and states of being and relating with others, as you're connecting with your wise wisdom. And I promise you, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably already deeply in touch with it. You are deeply in touch with it. This is just that deeper invitation to really listen. What type of person would you like to be as you relate to this person or situation? Beautiful example that came up in class this week was, I am the type of person who forgives quicker. Tune in next week. We'll talk about more forgiveness as well, because this is all wrapped up in relationship. But that was a powerful moment for one of our members is, oh, and it wasn't even about her exact relationship that she was working with in class, but she realized an old situation that needed to let go and how much she was carrying that. And she was carrying that into the relationship that she's working with. Like, oh, I can be free of this burden for my own sake. I'm the type of person who forgives quicker. And that was her statement, her goal, right? How would you measure that? Through your own practice, I can tap in. What do I need to attend to? What do I need to journal through? What do I need to call in support around? Do some energy medicine intervention, contact my therapist, talk to a good friend, prayer, meditation, you name it. And that becomes the behavior that you practice around that forgiveness goal, for example. Right? I'm the type of person who believes in possibility. One of mine used to be and still is, it's amazing to live into it. I'm the type of person who sees, practices, and receives devotion and unconditional love. And I practice that devotion with myself so that I recognize it now when I'm relating with my partner. Real devotion to myself as a divine being. Because if I'm not treating myself that way, how can I expect someone else to recognize it? And I wouldn't have been able to recognize it from another had I not started practicing it myself. Some of this might feel fake it till you make it. That's okay. It feels uncomfortable. It feels new and strange. That's why we set it up on a, it might sound contrived at first, but on a schedule so that you practice, like going to the gym, right? Like times that we eat dinner, we set it up on a schedule. So our body and our nervous system, our limbic system, the parts that hold those old beliefs in place also start to get the message, right? So what type of person would you like to evolve into next? Really let it flow. What do you want to evolve into next? This is possible. And it's possible the piece I will acknowledge right now. I've heard a lot in the last week about we're in a crisis, so I can't do any of that right now. I'm stuck at home. I can't do any of that right now. And my invitation in any way that feels safe for you is, what better time? Let's harness this time, this incredible, incredible challenge where we are perhaps in shelter state, quarantined, fearful, when all of our stress levels are higher. First, to tap into that inner child very deeply, very, very deeply, because they're going to be freaked out too. And many of us are in the position of assuring others. So I first invite that. Check in. Let that inner child know it's going to be okay. And there's no better time to, in this giant pause button for some of us, see what you really need. It might not mean that we go out and actualize that in the way we thought it would look like right now, but it can mean that we take an opportunity to dive deeper and understand more right now. While we're stuck inside, we can go inside and come back with some deeper information, reflection, processes to work with in our relationships right now while we're in this real vice of emotion for many of us. And for those of you who also need a few practices on dealing, with that safety, I invite you to facebook.com/innerpeacerising. How do we get to that wise voice if we're in stress state all the time? I have a live video that I posted last week on some responses to help activate that parasympathetic response so our stress levels can go down a little bit. I'm right there with you, my friends. I need to be really practicing this on a daily basis, and you're not alone in that. So if that's a layer of resistance, it's very, very real. I see you. And I want to offer you that resource, facebook.com/innerpeacerising. Go to the live post from, I believe it was St. Patrick's Day, 317. And you'll see more coming there too. And finally, wherever you're having resistance, that is our pop-up of what we believe is possible. That's our pop-up. That's where our limiting beliefs show up. It's not safe. I don't deserve this. That's okay. We also need to honor our resistance so that we can move forward at the pace that works for us. But I invite you not to put the process down. Honor your resistance. Reach out to a dear friend that something sparked this. Hey, I listened to this podcast and I'm ready to start making some changes and I'm scared and I don't know how to do it. If you're close to the person that inspires you that you're window shopping on, reach out to that person. Let them know they're inspiring you. Ask what they do to make it work. Ask how they do this, like you're studying. And those are my invitations this week. And as we've gotten into some deeper content, please reach out if you need support. Shannon@innerpeacerising.com. And I thank you. Stay healthy, safe, and well. Those of you who are caretaking, reach out and honor you with support. I invite you for some free downloaded meditations if you're needing that. Really going in, rising.com/freebies. Please go there and take a look at those. There are a few practices, just about 5 minutes, to help really nurture and connect right now. I really want to offer those and get those out there. And thank you for being here with us this week. I'm Shannon Bodie, and it's been my incredible pleasure to share this time with you. Have a wonderful rest of your week, and tune in next week as we start a little bit of content around forgiveness, ourselves, each other, and healing where we can. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Again, dear ones, thank you so much for being here. It is always a delight to walk through the forest with you and come out the other side. I'm Shannon Bodie. This is the Love in the Mirror podcast. And until next time, let's take a deep breath together and access that peace that is possible in this moment with everything going around us, connecting to that peace together. It is here. And I thank you for being here. Take care of yourselves and each other. And I'll see you next week, everyone. This is Love in the Mirror.